Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Well, I have spent a week, almost a week, about 6 days at EWTN, but two of those days were a lot of travel. But regardless, it is out and has been made public that this learning series is coming. The Women Made New free learning series that is going to be out on June 5th here at EWTN. And the one thing I love about it more than anything is that it's free for everyone. Any and everyone can absolutely join in and be a part of this series. And right there in the privacy of your own home or with your girlfriends or with your church group, regardless, God is so good and this is coming out. And right now, the countdown has begun, ladies. So it is going to be out June 5th, and that is approximately 3 weeks away. So I am so absolutely excited, and I cannot wait to show you what we have been doing here and just all the different videos and the recordings and the meditations. And just God is so unbelievable in what He is doing with Women Made New right now, and all the beautiful ladies that have contributed to this. It is just, it's just so far bigger than I ever thought it actually could be. So God is just amazing. And that is just such a reminder to me and everyone that when God puts something on your heart, not to be afraid, not to blow off those small still whispers in your heart that He's trying to give you, because they matter. And this book, ladies, was that small still whisper in my heart, and it became a reality out of just absolute obedience, even though it was scary and hard, and at times I just wanted to give up. God absolutely came through, and He will for you too, and He'll always give you what you need. He'll provide the resources, and He will give you the grace, but we have to show up, and that is the biggest thing of all, to show up to your own fight, to show up to what God is asking, and to be obedient through that process, because God will bless you no matter what happens or what comes at you. God will be with you. And again, we always can just look to Mother Angelica for that exact model of no matter what, you just do God's will and He will take care of everything else. All you have to do is be that instrument, one foot in front of the others, right, lady? Just one foot in front of the others. And whatever God wants to do in your life, ladies, just be docile, go to adoration, get in the silence of your hearts and listen to what God is asking. So with that being said, we have about 3 weeks away. So this is the countdown, official countdown now on Women Made New, and it is really exciting. So with that happening at Women Made New, well, I was out at EWTN and I was staying with Debbie Cowden and Catherine Hadrow in the same house that I was staying. I asked them if we could just do a fun interview on Women Made New and just talk about the issues that women are going through and the things that I'm going through or that they're going through in their own lives. And I thought it would just be a really fun show to just kind of kick all of this off. So without further ado, here are my two dear friends, Debbie Cowden and Catherine Hadrow. To Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me and tuning in. Today, I have two very special guests from the EWTN family. And one is Catherine Hadrow and Debbie Cowden. Thank you two for being on Women Made New again. So welcome, welcome. And I have both of them here today, which is just awesome. So here we are.
This is amazing.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yes.
Again with you, Crystalina.
Yes.
The fact I have both of my dear friends with me, and
I am here and Catherine is here filming the Women Made New learning series that we've been doing all day. I'm a little fried. We have been recording all day long. So it's been a lot, but it's been amazing. And obviously this show has been pre-taped, but God has been so good. And the fruits of the Women Made New book have just blown me away. And just when you say yes to God, sky truly is the limits on what it is He gives you and what He can do with it. And with a little yes, right, Catherine?
Absolutely. There's so much I could say, and I'm looking forward to having this conversation for us to just dive in more deeply into the gift of Women Made New and this upcoming online learning series. But I'll just say this from the start, Crystallina, having the chance to do this video series right now and to review this material once again has been a gift to me personally, and I just can't wait to get it out there and share with other women. I have felt the fruit of your ministry of healing. I have personally felt that. And again, it's such a gift.
It's going to be a gift for so many women, because Women Made New is women helping women, right? And Debbie, you have your awesome book. You're all about helping mamas out there, right? And the family, just getting closer to God. So tell us also, and just remind the listeners about your book.
Yes, ma'am. Well, my husband and I wrote the co-wrote the prayer book for tired parents, practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven. And when I say practical, I mean, it is practical. It's 350 pages of prayer and wisdom and humor and relatability, all with the intention of helping parents discover their call to holiness. And their primary goal in that call to holiness is to know, love, and serve God. And so you're going to learn the ways that you can do that through your family and with your family and for your family. And so for the parent who's out there like, I can barely get through the day, how am I going to be able to do all of these extra things? You're going to get the answers in the prayer book for tired parents. And you're going to realize that when I love God, I desire to spend more time with Him and I desire to center my life around Him. And you recognize your call as a human being. And I think that relates so beautifully to Women Made New, Crystallina, because your goal is to help women discover who God made them to be and to be transformed. And Women Made New and the prayer book for tired parents really are all about transformation and about healing and about going forth and answering that call to holiness.
One thing that keeps coming to my mind as you were speaking, Debbie, is it's because of your vulnerability that you're able to help other parents and other families. Your vulnerability in going out there and saying, I'm tired. Anyone else?
Right?
But that is able to reach people and pierce their heart and be like, finally, I can grab onto something and have these practical tips. And Crystallina, yesterday I was speaking with a woman about Women Made New and this book and your book that you have put together. And she was just commenting about the raw vulnerability in each and every chapter. And so that's just been kind of sticking with me. I feel like there's a theme here of when we make ourselves vulnerable, it benefits others. That's I think, a good fruit of both of these books.
Amen. And I appreciate that feedback because, you know, it's so important for us to be vulnerable because none of us are perfect. And what we realize when we start talking about these struggles is that we have universal struggles when it comes to being a parent. I don't know a parent who's not tired. And if you know somebody who is a parent who is not tired, I would love to meet them.
I want to learn everything I can from them.
That's true. And it may initially sound like self-deprecation to call yourself a woman made new because it would suggest that you were somehow broken or that there's something that needs to be fixed. Or even as a tired parent that, you know, oh, that it's self-deprecating, like you can't do it or you're exhausted. But once you recognize that you need to be made new or you recognize that you are a tired parent, you open yourself not just to being vulnerable with other people, but being vulnerable with God. Mm-hmm. And by saying, God, I can't do this without you. I need you to transform me. And I need you to change my life and help me grow in my desire to love you. And that's incredible. I love the way the two books fit together so nicely.
It's hard to be vulnerable with God sometimes too. Like, I feel like I'll go into prayer and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be vulnerable this time, God. Like, I'm going to really do it. And I'm still kind of using eloquent language in my prayer. And I'm like hyper analyzing how I'm praying and whether or not I'm being vulnerable, but it is necessary, isn't it? And he meets us there. If you look at the crucifix, there he is, the most vulnerable you could be. He came to us as an infant, the most vulnerable you could be. He's teaching us in that, and I still have a lot to go in that regards.
And we'll never stop learning either. And it's such a treat to be able to learn from the women and women made new, and to learn from both of you and to be with you today and throughout these past few days, just getting to talk with you and connect and have that community and have that sisterhood, which is what we need so badly. And so that's what Women Made New offers.
I just want to, just so the listeners are aware, I just want to paint a picture of right now, because the three of us are huddled together having this really, like, heart-to-heart moment. Like, this conversation is an extension mm-hmm. of what the fruit of the past few days have been. You know, when I arrived to the EWTN guest house and I saw who my roommates were, I was just so overwhelmed. And I was like, okay, high school Catherine would be freaking out right now if she knew she was rooming with Crystalina Evert. And I have to say, yes, listeners, she is as great as you want her to be.
Both of these women are. God really blessed me. I walked in like it was Disneyland when I saw Catherine Pedro's name on the door and Debbie Cowden. And I feel like I've just been with my girlfriends hanging out, having fun and talking. But real talk, everyone, being able to have those heart to hearts of, well, what's going on in your life? What's going on in your life? And being able to be honest and vulnerable, you know, and there is really a grace, I think, that comes with the right vulnerability, right? And when God is in the center of that and you're trying to do what is right, that there's fruit that can actually come from that vulnerability that I've seen from both of these amazing women. And again, I am here talking with Catherine Hadro and Debbie Cowden here at the Magnificat House here at EWTN, because we're filming the Women Made New Learning Series. And I just happened to be here with Catherine at the same time to film our different book segments. So it's really been an honor and a pleasure. And you two were talking about, and briefly, I wanted to touch on, it's, did you say your 10 year with EWTN? Yes. Let's talk about that, because that is a long time. So where did you start off, Catherine?
So Debbie and I started the same time, June 3rd, 2013. So we were fresh college graduates, both moved to Washington, D.C. at the same time to be founding news members of EWTN News Nightly, the evening news program from a Catholic perspective. I came on as a researcher. Debbie was producer.
And the rest is history.
And
when we came in, you know, we're like doe-eyed, and, you know, we had these big expectations for like how God was going to use us. And I think we learned pretty quickly, you know, both studying television and journalism, and we had these internships, and we thought that we knew maybe not everything, but a lot. And we're ready to go in and change the world. Yeah. But very quickly we learned that it's not about us.
Yeah.
And if you try to make it about you, then you're going to fail pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I had read Mother Angelica's biography for the first time, the biography by Raymond Arroyo, that I realized that everything that Mother Angelica had done through EWTN was for and because and through Jesus. Mm. Because Jesus willed it. And that she conformed to his will and she was obedient to him. And so throughout my first couple years as a producer at the network, I was developing the sense that it's not because of me and it's not for me or of me or through me. It's through Jesus. And so I was able to learn so much more about my faith, about how God gave me these gifts in order to serve him and not for me. And that he's going to put the right people in my life who are going to help me accomplish his will.
Yes. And wouldn't you say for both of us, our journeys have been nothing like we predicted and planned.
Absolutely.
Like the you know, 21, 22-year-olds that came to Washington, D.C. had one idea of what we thought the next few months and years would look like. And they've just taken on totally different trajectories.
But better.
But better. And we've been, you know, taken apart in different cities. But I will just say, Debbie, and I am so grateful I get to see you face to face. Like, I care for you so much. I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. And her talent was really obvious from the beginning, but to see how God had his plans for, again, in a way we could not have predicted, has been really, really beautiful to see. And that time 10 years ago was really a unique season in life because you had, it was this new television program. 2013, Pope Francis had just been elected. It was this new season in the church, and this team came together from all across the United States.
All across the world.
All across the world. That's right. And you just could see how God, you know, kind of hand selected. And I think for each and every single one of us, we have this clarity and conviction of, I'm supposed to be here. And that was just such a unique season. And we all bonded together because we were all new to D.C.
New to D.C., new to the EWT family.
Yes.
And there were so many open doors for us with working for EWTN. And I appreciate what Catherine says about me and being proud of me, because I can say that I am proud of her. And I've watched the way that she has grown as on-air talent and as a producer, and grown in her faith and grown as now a married woman. And we need each other. And I'll admit that on my first day when I walked in and I saw Catherine, post-college Debbie, who was out for, like, she wanted to do it herself and she wanted to be the best. And I was like a medium fish in a small pond. So like I thought that I was doing really, really well. And I saw her and I saw what she was capable of. And my just fallen human nature just had me so threatened by Catherine, because I thought that she was competition. And I was comparing myself to her in the beginning. I don't know if you know that.
You've never told me this. And I'm like, wait, did
Live
I
on Women
you?
Made New, everyone.
But no. Debbie, I had the same thought when I saw you. Because I remember we were all in the room. You walked in and I immediately thought, oh, well, she's an on-air reporter.
Oh, you're so
which
sure.
I was jealous of.
And I was jealous because it was like, she's going to do this. And then you did. Yeah. And I was still behind the scenes because I was in the producer role. But what we found is that, first of all, God used us in such different ways.
Yes.
But also, this is so important. Like, if there's nothing else that I want women to take from this show, even though there's a lot that I want you to take from this show, I want you to know that another woman's light shining does not diminish your own light.
Amen.
And I think the maturity that we've developed now is that what Catherine is doing is good and it is noble and it's something that is commendable. And then what I'm doing is good too. And the good that she's doing doesn't make my good any less good. And when we work together, that makes us even stronger.
Unstoppable.
Because we're doing it for Jesus. And so the work that Catherine has done in EWTN News has been remarkable. She was the founding host of EWTN Pro Life Weekly. She's been to Rome. She's hosted live events. She's done huge things. She is a force to be reckoned with in the Catholic world. And I see what she's doing. And then I see what I'm doing, where I've taken a family track and I hosted EWTN Religious Catalog for 7 years and now doing the Catholic Sphere. And that doesn't make what she's doing any less important. And we're doing it together. It's like different parts of the same body. And I think if women can remember that we're working together and that we're part of this mission together, then, Catherine of Siena says, we will set the world ablaze.
Right? Mother Angelica, she's still setting the world ablaze with this EWTN. And everybody has a seat at God's table. Everybody has a voice at God's table. And we are all welcome. And our gifts are some similar and some very unique. But we make up, I completely understand the body of Christ now, but to lift each other up in our own ways and gifts and whatever it is God's asking us to do, it and to just watch you two sit here and talk to each other is so amazing, because you don't see women building each other
up. It typically is a tear down, right? Or it's this jealousy or just this like aura of just like, oh, here we go, you know? And it's not meant to be that, ladies. And if you feel that in your friendships and you feel that at home, sitting around the table, having coffee, and there's like this aura of competition, you need new friends because that is not a friendship and that's not how it should be. And there should be a purity amongst you of really wanting what's best for that other person and actually lifting up and helping them to do what is best for them, you know, and being their cheerleader. That's a friend, and not being threatened, but that's a friend that Jesus has given you, not one that you're seeking out because you're lonely or you need to fill your time or your gap or you want to gossip with someone. And, you know, it's friendship is so much more than that. And if there is a purity to your friendships with your girlfriends and Jesus is in the center, it's a whole different place at the table that you're sitting, and a maturity, and that God is there with you and he's going to help build all of you up together, and you will be strong as women. And that's what we want to be, is strong. And we want to feed off of each other's gifts and talents and strength and grace. And that's how I see a friendship with another woman. It's not a competition or backbiting or gossiping behind each other's back. I have no time for it. I can't stand it. It is a thing of mine. I don't get beam. And that's why women is helping women. And so here we are, everybody, on Women They Knew with Catherine Hadrow and Debbie Cowden. And I do consider these two lovely women my friends. And we've had some excellent conversations and real conversations just about life. And it's just been so refreshing just being able to sit and talk and be vulnerable and talk about the hard things in life and the things that God has blessed us with and where we're at right now and where we think we're going, you know, and that's a big deal.
And I think I've felt comfortable being vulnerable with you both because I trust your intentions towards me.
Thank you.
Because it's all about intention. I feel that support, you know, and I think that enables when we are able to love women, our sisters, with that purity, that opens up that ability to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm.
And not wondering, is this person going to use me, or is this person going to talk about me? Are they really being real right now? Are they showing me their real face, or is this their fake mask? You know, because I've had plenty of those rear their ugly face at me and be so disappointed at times in my life. And we're talking back in high school too, you know, these girls and things I experienced. It's been a lot, but I think that's why I wanted to create a safe space for women, because I know what it's like to be hurt by another woman, right? I know what it's like to be hurt by a man, but it's a whole different hurt when it's by another woman as well, especially when it comes to the cattiness, the backbiting, the competition nonsense, you know? So if you find that good, pure friendship that you know you can rely on them and it's trustworthy, thank God for that other woman, because it truly is a gift, especially in our day and age. So I really want to let our viewers know what both of you are up to right now, because there's a lot going on in all of our lives and it's just all so good, but it'd be really nice, especially catch up with you, Catherine, and you, Debbie, and just let people know where you're at.
Yeah.
So what is going on with you, Catherine? Let's start with you.
So I'm so grateful to be in my role as an EWTN News contributor, because it enables me to, I have been doing more traveling, I'd say, but being able to be on the different news shows, EWTN News in Depth, EWTN News Nightly, being able to cover various topics and go to different events as well. So I'm there. I'm staying busy. You can find me at those various EWTN News programs and doing a lot of traveling and speaking as well at Catholic and pro-life events. I mean, this time that we find ourselves in post-Dobbs is a unique and historic moment for the pro-life movement. And you can see, if you're watching the news, you see the pro-life movement in real time trying to figure out our game plan, right? Because yes, we are winning in the courts. We are losing in the court of public opinion. And there is a lot of work to be done. So that's where I find myself right now, still involved in the pro-life movement, but in a different capacity and doing some strategy behind the scenes as well.
While still battling it out there, fighting for what's good, holy, and sacred. That is Catherine all the way. That's awesome. What about you, Debbie?
I'm battling within the domestic church. I am battling the devil head on in the family. And that's where it really begins, because, you know, we're trying so hard to raise holy Catholic children and to be faithful in our state and life and to transform the culture starting in the home. So my husband, David, and I have really been focusing a lot of effort in, you know, taking our kids to mass, to adoration, cultivating a prayerful, peaceful home. And it is possible, by the way. And we have 3 kids, ages 2, 4, and 6, with a 4th on the way. And we have peace in our home because we have Jesus enthroned as King of our home. And that's in addition to working full-time for EWTN. I manage EWTN's flagship social media accounts. And in addition to that, I'm making content for Instagram, obviously writing books as an EWTN publisher, and then hosting the Catholic Sphere as well. So once a month.
How is there anything? Are you sure there's nothing else, Deb? Just, is there anything else?
Well, honestly, the only other thing is that I am a member of our parish's altar rosary society. And I make rosary bracelets too, and polymer clay earrings with my daughter.
And there was the cherry, everyone, on top.
There it is. But really, it's just about being faithful right where I am. And it sounds like a lot. It's all under the same umbrella, really, of our Catholic faith. And for the parent who is wondering about the work-family balance, in my case with working at EWTN, it works out really well because I'm surrounding myself with prayer and with the saints and with other good, holy people who are really trying through EWTN. And it's become a mission that our whole family gets behind, with my husband as being a co-author, with my children being big fans of EWTN's kids shows. And it makes a big difference to have a very pro-life, pro-family organization that you work for.
That was, okay, I'm trying to think back, Debbie. When I met you, were you engaged to Dave yet? Or were you guys dating?
We had just started dating.
You had just started dating. Mm-hmm. So I've seen you from girlfriend to fiance to wife and mother. And
wow.
Throughout, you know, throughout her time at EWTN, and beautiful couple, beautiful family. What has it been like to transition from, okay, full-time EWTN to then wife and mother? Like, how has that made your work? Has that made your work even more razor sharp, clear?
It really has. It really has. And there was a discernment process that went along with it too, because originally my plan was, you know, once we get married and start having babies, then Dave, who works in healthcare, was going to be the breadwinner. And I was going to stay home with the kids. I was going to homeschool them. And there will, I thought, be a time where I wasn't going to have a regular job anymore. But what we started to realize as I grew in EWTN and took on more responsibilities and discovered more of the ways that God was calling me to work for him and with him and through him, we realized that EWTN's mission is so compatible with our family life, and that there were adjustments that we could make in our home in order to make it so that our family could say yes to God's call in this way, in a way that didn't sacrifice our time with family. And so praise be to God, with my husband's job in healthcare, in a secular job, that there also is that flexibility as well, because now it's not a matter of my husband being away at work all the time. He's able to be home with his kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can have conversations about, you know, how much time a woman should spend at home with her children and whether or not a woman should work. And those are all great conversations that I love to have, but Are we having conversations about the husbands? Are we having conversations about how much time dads are having with their kids? Mm-hmm. Because the father is the spiritual head of the home, and the way the father goes is the way the children go as well. So
that's the truth. So I know.
It was really important for us to have Dave home as much as possible, and his schedule accommodates that. That didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen, how should I say, it was something that we worked up to, getting him to where he could be home. But it's beautiful because now he's the one who's taking the kids to daily mass. He's helping with the homeschooling. He's leading our family in prayer. He is helping to raise our children up in virtue. Mm. It's so cool. And then he gets to enjoy the time with his kids. Mm. And so if you have a woman or a married couple who's struggling with that work-family balance, really discern, how is my job fitting into how I'm serving my family? Because you can find,
isn't it always vice versa?
Your family should not be at the service of your career.
That's
especially
right.
If your career is a secular one.
Yeah.
And especially if you have pursuits that are not pure and are not of God. And it's not where we thought that we were going to be 10 years ago when we started dating, but it's even better. It is absolutely better.
It sounds like it. I mean, it sounds like you found that healthy balance where God wants you, not where the world wants you, not with other people's opinions, but what God is put your family, right? And we will get more into that and a lot more with Catherine Hadrow and Debbie Cowden when we come back from our break with our friends over at EWTN. So stay tuned. To Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Evert. Thank you for joining me and tuning in. Today, I have Catherine Hadrow and Debbie Cowden here on Women Made New. And just to recap that we are here filming the Women Made New book learning online learning series. I'm still getting used to saying that. It's so brand new. And they are my roommates for the week. And so I'm like, we've got to do a show. This will be so much fun. But they're also very dear friends of mine. So it's really been just fun and a pleasure and an honor and just so different from being at home with my 8 children to being here at EWTN and being able to be here with these lovely women and filming this series, which I'm so excited to share with you. But we are just talking about what's going on in all of our lives and just catching up and just talking about day in, kind of day out stuff that is happening. And also, I wanted to get you to and ask, what advice do you have for women just right now in general? What advice were the different places that you're at in your life? Because last time I talked to you and you were on Women Made New, you were not pregnant and your book had not like just came out and so much has happened from point A to B of right now. And you, Catherine, even where you're at in your life and the shifts and the changes and everything else, that there's wisdom with all the changes in your life that I'm sure that you can impart on women right now. So what advice would you give them, starting with Catherine?
You know, as Debbie before a commercial break was sharing how she had to really discern what was right for her family, I, in my home life, had to really make some life changes to fiercely defend and protect our home life. So that I was prioritizing my husband. My husband is my spouse. He's my vocation. He's my calling. And that can get disordered really quickly when other things start taking priority. So what came to mind as you were asking that question, what advice do I have for women today? And I'm saying this out loud because I need to take this advice myself. You have to get quiet, real quiet, and fiercely guard your home life and your time. You have to fiercely guard it. You have to be proactive about it or else it will be taken from you. You know, something this could be a whole other conversation, but I discern a lot about, well, isn't my time for others? And there's really a beautiful quote, and I love the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. It's one of my favorite books to read, and I've read it multiple times. And he talks about how your time is not your own. And so I feel like I have had that, and that idea I think got distorted for me but then I wasn't giving any time to myself and my husband, and I was giving too much time to others. Whereas I think especially when you've discerned your vocation, that really should give razor sharp clarity as to how you should be spending your time. And so that's what I would just say for women, and no matter their walk and season of life right now, you have to get silent and fiercely protect your time and your home.
Oh, I love it. I love the fierce in that. Let me just say, I do. I just love it. Debbie, what advice do you have for women?
I would encourage women to take a path of healing. And with every part of your life where you're seeing that you have struggles, whether it's in your relationships, with your marriage, with the way that you interact with your children or interact with others, with your pursuits with work or X, Y, and Z, if you're noticing that there is a struggle, there's usually a need for healing. And when you start to have a holy curiosity about why am I behaving this way? Why am I seeking out these kinds of people to hang out with? Why am I taking out my frustrations on my husband? Why am I having trouble connecting with my children or being patient with my children? Why am I struggling in my prayer life? Why am I pursuing my career the way that I am?
Who am I trying to please? Why am I trying to please them? And what parts of my life or what parts of my past are broken that need healing? And even in my own life, I, you know, 10 years ago, I would have told you that, you know, my life is peachy keen and everything's going the way I want it to. And it's great. And I'm in charge of my own destiny. But the more I started diving into trying to accomplish God's will and trying to be holy, I realized that there were a lot of parts of me that were broken. And then when I got married and I was living with Dave every single day, not Dave, he's a wonderful one. Now I'm not mad at him. He is great. He's a saint, man. I am helping him become a saint. I am sanctifying him. But I realized that there were a lot of parts in my life that were broken that were affecting my marriage. And even having small children, there were parts of my life that were affected that were causing me to be impatient with them or to have unrealistic expectations for them. And in my career starting out, there were certain reasons why I wanted so badly to be the best and I wanted to be perfect and I wanted to do it all. There was healing that was needed. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, if there's an area in your life where you're really struggling, yes, take it to prayer. Take it to somebody who is going to be able to help you, whether that's a priest or a trusted friend or a counselor. I mean, I'm glad that this stigma is being lifted on counseling and therapy. Guys, mm-hmm. you find a good Catholic therapist or a good Catholic counselor, and they're going to be trained through a Catholic lens to help you be able to work through these issues. And not only that, but develop the skills to be able to not fall into those bad habits again, mm-hmm. not get stuck in that cycle of negative thoughts, and to be able to truly heal. And when you're healed in Christ, you are transformed. And then you can be the person that God made you to be. And then all of a sudden, when you're with these amazing women like Kristalina and Catherine, you're not like, oh my goodness, she's so much better than me. She's so much prettier than me.
I know. You're not threatened.
You're not threatened. I'm encouraged.
Yes.
I learn from you and I admire you. And then also what it allows you to do is when you're hurt by another woman, or when you're hurt by something that your spouse says or that your children do, or that something that happens, you know, in your career, you can analyze it better and you can recognize what that hurt is. And you can prevent yourself from getting back into that cycle of hurt that caused you to need that healing in the first place. It's so cool. You could change your entire life.
I love the phrase Debbie used, holy curiosity. And it is about becoming an observer of yourself. And I'm still trying to learn that skill set because I realized my automatic response is shame towards myself. Oh, I just reacted that way. I feel this shame towards myself. Mm-hmm. But to do so in a way that's removed and to have that holy curiosity and to be able to observe yourself, not in judgment, but in that love and in that way that is attuned ultimately towards the goal of healing.
And it's hard. But it's harder not to seek the healing. And it's one of those things where, I mean, I like to say you have to crack the egg before you make the omelet. And it hurts to crack the egg. You've got to plant the seed, and the seed has to die before it can sprout. And it's got to sprout, and it's got to have time to grow before it can blossom. And so you've got to be patient with yourself, and you've also got to put in the effort. Because if you plant that seed, but you never water it, or you plant it in poor soil, I have so many gardening. And
Dave and I love our gardening.
I love gardening. Like, you got to add the compost.
Oh, I feel it.
I don't feel anything. Don't know.
You've got to have the skills, and you've got to have the discipline, and you've got to take care of it. And sometimes it also requires doing your research or having those people who know how to grow plants in order to help you. And ultimately, you've got to have God, because we know that God is the creator of everything, and you cannot grow any flowers on your own. You need God. And so I have found a lot of healing in the past few years, and I could not have done it if it were not through the lens of the Catholic Church. And I could not have done it without other women who were also encouraging me as well.
You know what I found in going through a healing process or talking with other women? That we actually are living out and through our wounds. We're living through the wound. We're not living as ourselves, but we're so engulfed and almost caged inside of a wound that is the lens that we're seeing life, and it's a distorted lens that we are not seeing things actually clear-headed the way things are supposed to be, right?
Exactly. Like what you had said about the way that you were treated by girls in high school, that
impacts how you see other women. And yes. You might automatically have your defenses up and assume that any woman who doesn't do exactly what you think that they should do is there to hurt you. Mm-hmm. Or you may have.
I did used to think that way, actually. Before my healing, that was it. I was like, okay, what is she about? How is she going to hurt me? I can't, like, I could not. It was bad, but it took a while. And even just hearing both of the strength from you and this confidence doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from going through a lot, being broken down, built up again, and knowing who you are in God and what He created you for, what He's asking you to be in your lives, and that mission and that calling you're fulfilling through your relationship with God. That is where the strength I hear from both of you actually comes in. Now, are we done healing?
No, not.
But it's a process.
And it can be overwhelming because once you start that process, boop, 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 all this stuff starts popping up to the surface and you realize how much work you have to be done. But when you mentioned how we see, our lens is formed by our wound, you know, something I've been realizing more and more, yes, that starts seeping onto how I view my friendships, my relationships. In the most major way, it affects how I look at God and how He loves me. And I feel like most recently, and I could get emotional even talking about this, the Lord has, in His mercy, been removing the scales from my eyes about how I have been viewing Him incorrectly from a place of woundedness throughout my life. Even just, you know, one example, I don't know if any listener can relate to this, but I think I always kind of viewed God as, well, He just makes me suffer through things because He knows I can get through it. He'll put these burdens on me that are not fair. And He makes me suffer, but He doesn't, and these other people suffer in the same way, which that's a distorted thought. But I came to realize, oh, and I'm praying no one in my family is listening. I came to realize, oh, that's actually how I view my parents. And I never had the ability to have the courage to say that out loud. But the Lord has been revealing to me, my wounds related to my mother, my father, have distorted how I view Him. And I haven't seen Him in His full mercy and love towards me. But He, in His perfect timing, is removing those scales from my eyes and, yeah, showing me who He is and who I am in Him.
And not only that, but part of the beautiful process of healing is that not only do we recognize and heal from the way that we've hurt others, but then we also develop that awareness and that humility to recognize the ways that we have offended God. And yes, that hurts a little bit when you think about it. But things, yeah. Think about the way that, you know, other people have treated you and, oh, that's not fair. But how often do you think about the way that you offend God? And we don't want women to get stuck in that. We don't want them to despair in that because God is a perfect gentleman and He's been waiting for us all the time. And He wants us to be healed. And He's got the door wide open for us for healing. And there, another beautiful element of healing is that recognition and then being able to seek forgiveness from God. Because when we can seek that forgiveness from God, then we also can learn how to forgive ourselves too.
That's a thing. Forgiving yourselves is an absolute thing and process. I literally had to go through not just the people that hurt me, but the things that I allowed to happen and that I engaged in or how I hurt myself or things that's just like, why the self-sabotage for Selena? I'm having like this talk with myself, like, why do you keep doing this to yourself? You know, and it's just almost like it doesn't have to be this way, you know, but I didn't have the right tools. Just assuming I did not, in order to change. And one of the biggest ones was Jesus. You know, it's everything. He's everything. And I was talking to Catherine about this last night. I don't think you were there when I said, Catherine, what is the one imagery that is universal to know that we are Catholic? And it is the crucifix, right?
I was just about to say something about the crucifix.
It is the crucifix. But if you think about this, Jesus is the King of Kings, right? And the images that we have left behind of all the former kings of the earth, right? And their different realms and kingdoms and whatnot, is all of strength and power and just their might and their glory. And our king, Jesus, left the image
of when he was most hurt, most vulnerable, most wounded, in his most just like vulnerable place he allowed himself to be on this earth was naked on that cross, you know? And it's just like, oh my gosh. But that's what he left for us to ponder on about him. And that's my king. You look at the earthly kings and they're like, boom, powerful, right? Like showing the glory. God is showing his humility and his humanity on the cross. And I feel like there's something that I, in my own spirituality, have overlooked. He's trying to say, like, approach me, come to me. But it's got to be in a way that is humble. You can be vulnerable with me. I'm vulnerable with you. Like, I can take it all on. I hold nothing back. Jesus holds nothing back from us. Nothing, not a single thing. I've experienced this in my life. And at times it's brought me to tears. Like, Jesus in my life, everything I experienced and done and everything else, he's never held anything back from me. And I've experienced things held back from me unjustly, wrongly, maliciously, or just like maybe I wasn't lovable. Things have been withheld that Jesus gives freely to everybody. And it's beautiful, but it's hard to approach that cross. It's a lot. It's a big deal, you know? But at the same time, I feel like we are looking at Jesus, but he's also giving us a message through that cross. Yes, he's our savior. Yes, he died. Yes, he redeemed us. He saved us. But also he's giving us this message of, you know, it's in your humility where really you're going to start all of this with me. That's it, right? Yeah. There's something about he is in his glory, in his humility. And you know what? The devil, that's the one thing the devil is powerless in, humility. Yes. So there is something there right there, because it's all about the pump, pride, and this and my right and that. And I want it. I, when God's like, no. You get humble with me. I'm showing you the key here. The devil won't touch you. He has no control around of humility. He can't even take it on. He can't even fathom it. That there, it's like, meet me there. Does that make sense? And I'm just saying this out loud, you know?
It does. And I mean, humility really is our identity in God. It's who we truly are, not a false humility, you know, not berating ourselves. And I feel like I'm in the process of, okay, Lord, show me who I am. Like, teach me how to be humble in front of you and to you and with you.
It's scary. I'm not going to lie. For a while, I was scared enough to say the prayer of humility.
Oh, no, you did that. You
bad. Yes, thank you. Humble. But thank you. Every time you say that prayer, you're getting, I don't want to say a weapon, but you are going to get humbled, because that's exactly what you're asking for. And it is, like, hands down going to happen. But that's when you can pray that. And pray that on a daily basis, you've grown in your spirituality, right? Because it is a prayer where you know, okay, you're going to get humiliated. So let's just wait for it almost, you know? But we can't be afraid of that. That shouldn't be a fear either. So there's some serious growth there, especially if you're saying that prayer, right?
And the humility comes with love. I mean, we grow in our love when we grow in humility. And Dave's been reading Humility of Heart. And that's like, you want to be put in your place. You read Humility of Heart. And what I really love is how he points out that pride really is the root of all sin, because sin is disobedience of God. And so when we choose to sin, we are saying, I will not serve. And who else said, I will not serve?
Yeah.
We all know who said, I will not serve, and what happened as a result. But when you humble yourself and you're able to recognize that I can do nothing with God and that I am to serve him, there's a lot of good fruit that comes with that. And the cool thing is that you will never arrive on the journey of humility. And if you think you have, you have not.
I'm not.
I know you are humble.
You are not.
Just sit down.
Sorry, hurt yourself if you're thinking you're humble. I'm saying that out loud.
There's nobody as humble as me. I'm
bad.
I do think about that a lot. The great saints in the past, did they have any concept of their identity, the Lord? Like, did they have a concept that they were a saint? I don't know. I think about that a lot. Did they even have that awareness? Or were they just they were probably given just graces to be blinded to that.
That's an interesting question. That is an interesting question.
One. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. It's all about our relationship with Jesus and just embracing his will one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, right? Isn't it? We are actually coming to a close, which I knew this would go by really fast. And oh, it's been so good. I want to know, what would you like to leave with the Women Made New listeners?
I would just say, and thinking about your listeners and everything we've been discussing this, who knows what's kind of struck your heart? Maybe you've been able to relate to something else. But Crystalina, just like you said, it's all about one step at a time, one day at a time. And just take this to prayer and say, Lord, what do you want me to do next? And he, like you said, Debbie, he's a perfect gentleman. And he has you right where you want, where he wants you. And your spiritual journey, be patient with yourself in that as well.
And that you are so loved. And that the things that are going on in your life, the things that God is allowing to happen, that there is good that can come from them, even if you don't see it right away. And that there is nothing that can happen to you and nothing that you can do that will make God stop loving you. And when you recognize that, and when you lean in and you let him love you, he will change you and he will heal you.
I love it. And today is Saturday, ladies. And I always encourage my listeners, go to confession, ladies. There is nothing more important than to be right with God. Nothing on earth. No bag, no shopping, no social media, no, nothing. There's nothing. And for those of you that are in discouragement and that don't want to go, that are fearful, that think, oh, well, God can't heal me. And what's the point? I'm just going to fall again. And you're just like shackled to this sin you can't get over. I want to remind you, you are shackled to no one and you're not shackled to anything. And it is all in the matter of your will. So it is time to pick yourself up and do what you can to get to confession, because this is an invitation from Jesus to go and to heal and to become strong and whole. And you know what? Maybe you feel, I'm just going to fall again. What's the point? The point is that you get up and you keep showing up to your fight. You don't give up. We don't give in, and we keep going. So, no, I'm praying for you. God bless you both. Thank you for being here. And I will have you both on again. God bless you.
God bless you.
I want to thank my guests, Debbie Cowden and Catherine Hadrow, for being here and just being so honest and open about their lives and just being so brave and sharing their wisdom. It's just such an honor and such a gift to me and everyone that was listening, I am sure. And to all of you out there listening, do not forget that it is Mother's Day tomorrow. Oh, yes. And for those of you that totally forgot, I got your back. And also, for those mothers out there that are struggling or having a hard time or overwhelmed or just feel beat up right now, and I get all of that. I've experienced all of that. And you are not alone. And every Mother's Day, and I'm going to read this again to prepare for Mother's Day, because it is one of my most favorite quotes for mothers, and is from Joseph Cardinal Manzetti. I believe that's how you pronounce it. And he says, the most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling place for an immortal soul. The tiny perfection of her baby's body. The angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God, the Creator, than any other creature God joins forces with. Mothers, in performing this act of creation, what on God's good earth is more glorious than this? To be a mother. God bless you, everyone, and have a wonderful weekend and happy Mother's Day.